Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
8 seconds to play, first and goal at the one. Rivers from the gun. Rivers pulls the trigger, near side. Caught! Mike Williams! Touchdown! Los Angeles! Phillip Rivers! A strike! And the Chargers are an extra point away from tying it up. This crowd is stunned. Chargers working out of the gun. Rivers, he's got the snap. He looks, he floats it, end zone, wide open. Mike Williams has got it. The Chargers are celebrating 29-28.
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Make some noise in the enjoyment! 1, 2, 3! Let me see those hands again! Yeah. Hang on out! Hey, everybody jump! Jump!
All right, here we go, a little Friday action, a little Taz and the Moose deal. I'm Taz, and we got Andrew Bogus sitting in for the Moose, A.B., and you heard Iron Eagle at the tippy top of the show from Westwood One right there on the call of the huge victory by the Los Angeles Chargers. 29 on the road. 29-28 to the deadly Kansas City Chiefs. And it was something else, and we're going to get into it a lot here. We're coming to you live right now from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Maybe you're listening to the show right now, one of our great affiliates across these great United States. On CBS Sports Radio, so thank you for doing that. Or maybe you're listening on radio.com, or maybe you're listening on Sirius XM Channel 206, the home for CBS Sports Radio, or on the Sirius XM app. Wherever you're listening to us, maybe on demand, we appreciate it much. If you want to call the show, guys, it's a very simple process.
Attention, hotline fans.
855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. AB, hello, welcome to Taz and the Moose again.
Taz, thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure. The third straight day, the third of four in a row that I get to hang out with you for 3 hours.
December's going to be called the month of AB on Taz and the Moose.
I mean, if we are counting, I'm here more than either you or Moose.
Okay, well, let's not get into that. So anyway, it's the holiday season, my friend. Let people enjoy their family time. So
me and Mike and Pete, who have to be here because you guys do whatever you want.
You don't understand, that's the deal. So we have a, what do you call it? We got a lot going on in the show. It's a very busy Friday show. We're going to do some NFL picks later on, which is going to be great. NFL Week 15 preview, we'll do that. We also are going to have special guest John Beeson, 9-year NFL veteran, former linebacker, NFL analyst. So looking forward to having Big John on later on in the show. So that's going to be great. But hey, dude. So we had a hell of a game last night, man, with these Chargers and these Chiefs, and we saw a lot of different type of stuff in this game where a guy in Mike Williams, wide receiver Mike Williams from the Chargers, was awesome. Big TD at the very end of the game, as you heard Iron Eagle do on a great job on the call, which, by the way, Iron Eagle will be on Taz and the Moose this coming Tuesday.
Whoa.
So there you go. So Iron Eagle.
Whoa, happy holidays.
Great, 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 great broadcaster. So anyways, happy holidays. So like I said, LA Chargers, Mike Williams, big TD at the very end of the game. Also, big clutch by Williams, 2-point conversion to win the game on the winning catch. A lot of stuff in this game, AB. Bad calls, some bad calls for sure, late in the game by the refs. Chargers defense looked real good to me. Just some quick overviews. Awesome comeback on the road by the Chargers. And talk about gutsy. Ho! Anthony Lynn, head coach of the Chargers, gutsy City Jones.
Had to do it. Had to go for two. 4 seconds left, down one, on the road. A loss. You know, still, even with the win, they have yet to actually pass the Chiefs in the AFC West. KC still is in first place, still has the number one seed this morning because they win a tiebreaker with the Chargers because they have a better division record. The only way the Chargers can pass the Chiefs is if they win out and KC loses one of its last two games, which is very possible,
right?
At least the loss part. They play in Seattle next Sunday night, do these Chiefs. But the gamble had to happen when you mix in. It made sense for just the game in and of itself, but the bigger picture, trying to catch them and pass them, you had to go for the win there. You cannot risk overtime and the coin toss
being
and never even touching the football because Mahomes gets in the end zone.
Yeah.
You got to trust Phillip Rivers, even without Gordon and Eckler. You got to trust that entire offense in the one situation, the one play, and the Chiefs absolutely messed it up terribly defensively, and it couldn't have been easier, Rivers to Williams for the win.
Yeah, it really was. They were targeting, what was it, Skandrick, I think they were.
I don't know who was supposed to be there, because it was Skandrick and Fuller and a third guy, and they all went with the other receiver, which I think was Travis Benjamin, and Williams just squeezed out by himself.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is Skandrick was targeted at least two times at the very end of the game, for the most part. I mean, going to
he was defending on the touchdown.
Oh, go to Mike Williams, right? And the 2-point, I think, too. I think it was the 2-point conversion, too.
There was no defender there. It's hard to say who they were targeting.
Right. Well,
Williams.
I think he was supposed to be covering. I'm saying, I should have said that. He was supposed to be covering Williams, Mike Williams. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, there was some funky calls, like I was saying earlier, dude. That towards the end of the game, it was a no call. With about 30 seconds left in the game, on a helmet-to-helmet on Rivers, where he slid by rookie Darian O'Daniel, and a pass interference on Kansas City, where the ball, I don't know, 4 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, whatever it was, above Williams' head, with about 12 or 13 seconds left in the game, and there was a pass interference on the Chiefs there, and that place was ruckus. They were pissed.
I don't get it. I don't understand, again, how we wake up this morning, and that's a thrilling game, a tying touchdown.
I know.
In the final seconds, or excuse me, the potentially tying touchdown, then the winning 2-point conversion. You've got two teams now with 11 wins. It ends a 9-game winning streak, losing streak for the Chargers in KC. Gets rid of some Phillip Rivers demons. They continue, these Chargers, to be different in the past. Normally, those situations, they don't recover, or they mess things up at the very end and still self-sabotage and still lose a football game. They are erasing that part of their history as well. And yet, one of the lead stories this morning is the calls that either were made that shouldn't have been made, or the ones that weren't and should have been made. I mean, it's just, I don't understand how this keeps happening and why the NFL seems to be relatively okay with the way that their games are handled.
That helmet to helmet, look, it was, in my opinion, I don't want to sit here and say it was a glaring helmet to helmet. There was a lot of shoulder from O'Daniel that hit Rivers for sure. But once a guy gives himself up in that slide, you got to pull up. You got to pull up. I know football's bang, bang. I played the game. I understand that. I didn't play in the NFL. But I know it's bang, bang. It's bang, bang on any level. It really is. That's a little bit of a tough one, but there was some helmet there. Do you think it was a helmet to helmet? Did you think?
It was forehead to ear hole.
Yeah.
And it's the quarterback.
There was some shoulder there, too, though.
Open field, and he's already down, giving himself up. And if anything, that flag should be overthrown. The emphasis is so strong on that play and safety. And it's a quarter. I mean, within the same league, we had that play in the Eagles-Cowboys game, where the Eagle defender coming around the edge, the backside of Dak Prescott, and he's just reaching back and grabbing Dak's knee and taking him down, making a tackle.
Yep.
That's a flag.
That's a flag.
And then last night, this play by O'Daniel on Rivers is somehow not a flag.
Yeah.
When it's a quarterback, it's Rivers. There's all this wide open space. It's why, if you're going to have rules like this, you have to have the college set up where you throw that flag. Because it's better to throw it than not throw it.
Right.
And then you go and review it, and you make sure it's valid or not, and then you move on. Because that's a penalty. And that should have extended that drive. It should have reset the downs. Because they were, I think that was, what, third and goal or second and goal? So the yardage didn't matter too much. It would have been half the distance. The key was resetting the downs. They should have gotten it. And the Chargers, by the way, almost complained themselves into the disaster there, because they let, 12 seconds run off.
They did.
Rivers was having a hissy fit.
Rivers was going crazy.
Relatively rightfully so, but they were wasting time calling timeout.
Yeah, I know. Right before that all happened, late in that fourth quarter, it was 28 Chiefs, 21 Chargers at that time, 28-21. And Benjamin, you mentioned Travis Benjamin earlier, he had a couple of clutch catches, man, to really get them into that red zone. And it was, both quarterbacks, I was saying this to Pete, our steam board operator, before the show.
Hey, good morning, Pete.
Yes, good morning, Pete the Body. It's great to see you again. It was both quarterbacks, man, really, I thought, played excellent. I mean, Rivers was 26 of 38, 313 yards. Mahomes was 24 of 34, 243 yards. Both guys had two touchdowns, and Rivers had two INTs.
And they were ugly, and there should have been a third one.
Well, the one was in the very beginning of the game, right? I mean, and you're right. There should have been a third one. I forgot about that. You're right about that. But the first one was like, ugh. He was picked off
the first one could have been a touchdown, and he underthrew it.
Like, wow. Yeah. It was like there was a minute left in the game, and next thing you know, you got up, you got yourself a cold beer, and maybe put a lip in. Next thing you know, it's 14-0. You know, and the Chargers are doing the job. They're losing on the road. And I'm like, oh God, the Chargers are gonna get destroyed, and I'm hoping that's happening. You know why? Because the Moose, my co-host on this dang show.
He still works here?
Yeah. He picked. Yeah, you'll be saying that about me next week.
Yep.
He picked the Chargers to win the West, didn't he, Mike? Yes, I think he did. Yes, Taz, he did.
I am the Moose.
Yes. So I don't want the Moose to be victorious in this. So, yeah. And then there was a tweet by Moose. He basically said, yes, Chargers won. Some riveting tweet that he put out.
Where is Moose right now?
He's not training. I know that.
Wow.
There's a good chance.
Elbows up.
No, there's a good chance he's probably doing a show, a TV show somewhere talking sports.
You ever run into Mark Melusic?
I don't know where he is right now. It's not my turn to watch him.
No, I thought he had one time mentioned going on a trip, to a warm destination. That's not right now,
No, I don't know. Maybe he's on.
Wasn't he going to an island or something like that? I feel like I heard him talking about that one time.
I'll text him during the break. I'll ask him.
I wouldn't do it this early.
Oh, he's up.
Not yet.
He's up. Don't worry about him. But anyway, it was definitely an exciting game. This is the thing. I mean, I know it's not really our topic, but people talk a lot about the third. We've heard a lot of the narrative on the Thursday night games. Ah, they suck. Ah, this and that. And I've always been a fan of the Thursday night game. To me, it's football. And I love football, right? So it don't matter. It's football. And this was an awesome game. I don't care if it's Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, Saturday night. This game was awesome. Two AFC powerhouses. It was, and I'll tell you what, the Chargers to do what they did, not just win on the road, which is that, you know, Kansas City is a tough place to win because it's a loud, loud place. They love themselves, their Chiefs. But the thing was that they came back. They come from behind victory. Whenever you see a team, and you know this, AB, whenever you see a team come back, you're down 14-0 right after the fourth quarter. You're on the road. You redeem yourself. And then you shut them out in the second quarter where your defense steps up and stops the screen. Because there was a lot of screens early in the game by the Chiefs, and the Chargers defensively figured it out, bro. And then they got themselves back in the game, and then who would have thunk it? They won the game 29-28 with a ballsy call by Anthony Lynn, as we said, that two-point conversion.
In a lot of ways, this Chiefs team is not the Chiefs team that we've been used to, that we've grown accustomed to, that has kind of broken our hearts now and again with either good starts to a season and then bad finishes or vice versa. Philip Rivers' career has been great,
yeah,
but misses the exclamation point of a Super Bowl. This is probably his most complete team. They have put things together this year. And, some people wanted to have a conversation before this game last night that the Chargers might actually, and I think even Buck and Aikman said it on the broadcast, that this is the most complete team in the AFC, which is, at times it's hard to wrap your head around because the Chiefs are so good on offense and we're so in love with Mahomes and they're so creative and they're so dangerous, but the Chargers can play defense.
Oh, dude,
and they
really
obviously have, when they're fully healthy, and hopefully that's as soon as next weekend with Gordon and Eckler coming back into that backfield. They're not exactly as dangerous as the Chiefs, but they're dangerous in their own right.
Right.
They held KC last night in Arrowhead under 300 yards, season low 294 of offense, and put 15 points on the board in the back half of the fourth quarter to get that win. They don't have that little number one in the standings next to their name just yet, but I think what you saw last night is why you have to say this morning, at least I'm going to say it,
yeah,
the Chargers are the best team in the AFC.
It'd be tough to argue with that right now because I think they proved that yesterday. Let's take a listen. We've been talking about Anthony Lynn a little bit in here, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, and that gutsy, or as I call it, ballsy call for going for two.
We was going to go for two the whole time at the end of that game because I believe in these guys. And like I said, just the game plan was to limit Tyreek Hill's explosive plays to win the fourth quarter. We didn't come here to tie. We came here to win. And so to me, it was a no-brainer.
You got to respect that right there. The guy knows going in full throttle. He's going for the win. I believe him because he didn't mince words. He went right at it. Let's take a listen here. Phillip Rivers, quarterback of the Chargers, Rivers, on the resiliency of his team.
I think it's this team. We won a close game in Seattle. We won a close game against the Titans in London. We lost a close game to Denver. We went to Pittsburgh and found a way. So I don't think there's anything this team believes we can't do. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to do it. But I think, you know, it wasn't a very happy sideline for most of this game, but it wasn't a dejected sideline.
Yeah, I could see why it wasn't happy because we were saying, man, you go down 14-0 on the road, and that now you start hanging heads, and that's when you need leadership, guys like Rivers and some veterans on that team to pick the guys up, like Antonio Gates, the big tight end, 38 years old. He made some big catches late in this game that were important. You know, he's a leader on that side, and he's going to pick guys up. And their head coach shows that confidence in them to go for two. That's a big deal. Or throughout the game to keep fighting. You know, it's very impressive. Let's take a listen to Rivers talking about that, about Anthony Lynn going for two.
I was gone. I was going to the sideline, going to overtime. And Coach Lynn said, let's go win it right now. Let's go for two. Let's go win it right now. And when he said that, there was so much conviction from him. It was, yeah. Let's go win it right now. I mean, it was immediately turn around, let's go win it. I mean, and if we didn't win it, we didn't win it. But I think his conviction, it wasn't like, should we? It wasn't. It was, no, let's go win the game.
What was that?
And apparently he told.
What was that right there?
And,
did you hear that?
Yeah. Maybe Anthony Lynn mumbles sometimes. I don't know.
Wait, hold on a sec. Before you go on with your commentary here, what, can we just hear that little?
It wasn't like, should we? It wasn't. It was, no, let's go win the game.
That's a good Anthony Lynn impersonation.
It wasn't like, should we? It wasn't. It was, no. Let's go win the game.
Love it. Anyways, that was funny.
Apparently, Lynn told Ken Whisenhunt, his offensive coordinator, when they got the ball back down seven, he said, if we score, we're going for two, so get your play ready. So that,
wow.
So I mean, he was in on getting the win in that moment. I hope no one's waking up this morning going, oh, man, they're lucky to have converted, like, not liking the decision. The decision, there's no argument against going for two there. Extending the game ends up being what people like to throw around in these situations. And that's, to me, it's usually such a dumb argument because what you may be doing is extending the game to lose it. Why not let your players decide it in that window?
Yeah.
And if you lose, you lose. Well, if they make a play and you don't get the points, fine. But trust your guys to make a play so you get the points and you get the W.
You don't want to, you said this earlier, you don't want to put the ball back in Mahomes' hand at home and have a guy like Hill. You know, Hill, who could just, the guy's a human video game, can score anytime he wants, or a tight end like Kelsey makes some clutch catches. They got powerful, massive weapons on that offense. Williams on that offense ran the ball great yesterday. Dante Williams, you know, I'm just saying, like, especially on the road, you don't want to do that. So, you know, it's they did the right thing. It was the right move by Lynn. Now, of course, you know, I mean, there's a good chance if they didn't convert into 2-point, they go to OT, and let's say the Chiefs win the game, hypothetically. This didn't happen, we know.
Well, if they didn't convert the 2-point, they would have lost.
They would have lost the game. That's
yeah.
The score.
I mean,
right.
The other part is the PAT, which I still disagree with, being moved back to be made so difficult, is not a guarantee anymore.
What I meant to say, I'm sure you know this, was as I have some kind of thing in my eye, they would have kicked the extra point if they didn't go for the 2.
Right.
Right. Okay, so continue with your points, please. Well, you're already starting to aggravate me in segment 1. All right. Come on. Come on! Come on! Hello!
Back to you, Tess.
Hello? Anyway, so the chart, do you have something you want to say?
No.
No, say your thoughts.
No, I did. Finished it.
Oh, God. Wow. Happy Friday. All right. Anyway, gee whiz. Well, anyway, so if you want to call the show, you can. You want to tell us your thoughts on this this epic win by the Los Angeles Chargers on the road.
Or epic loss. Anybody spooked by the Chiefs right now?
I'm not. Are you?
I mean, here's the spook this morning. They've lost 6 straight playoff games in Arrowhead. Last night, obviously, not a playoff game, but something like it. And had a 2-touchdown lead late in the fourth quarter and didn't win it.
Good point. With the Chargers, Chargers won like 11. They're 11 and 1. They won like 10 of 11, I think. This is something I was looking at that earlier. Something like they won like 4 or 5 in a row
now. It's definitely 4 in a row. I don't know what the overall run is.
Yeah, I think like... yeah, it's crazy. They've just been on a tear. On a tear, definitely, for sure. It's a good time to be a Charger fan, I'll tell you that right now. So 10-1, so out of the past 11 games. So anyway, you want to call the show, talk about this Chargers-Chief game. 855-212-4227. Taz here, and AB sitting in for the Moose. We'll be right back.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Well, that's right, and CBS Sports Radio toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. So, we were talking a lot about this game from Thursday night, Los Angeles Chargers defeating the Kansas City Chiefs, by a point on the road. It's a big, I kind of can, someone here, whoever, there's a lot of people in studios. Yes, just please silence your cell phones while I'm speaking. It's very important.
It was my computer somehow. Okay, well, you magically. I was looking at the weather report.
You should be paying attention to me. Anyway, so. That's the deal on that. But, yeah, we're going to get more talking about the on the Chiefs end of it because you brought up a good point. I said this is an epic win by the Chargers as I so eloquently took us into break. And you said, well, or epic loss, meaning by the Chiefs. And you and I are going to have that discussion. There might be a little problem on this Friday with me and you.
Uh-oh. Already?
Speaking of problems, there's a guy in the room that's going to give us his latest sports update, Mr. Heller, who is always just a problem child, a wild man at heart.
Look out.
Gunslinger Jones, that's you, baby.
Especially on Friday, look out. You never know.
You look like you're going to have a wild weekend.
Oh, watch out.
Brad Heller, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Give it up for Brad. Oh, I've been rough on you.
Best in the business.
Thank you.
I've been rough on you during the week, and I thought about it yesterday while I was eating dinner. I was eating a big strip steak, and I was thinking of you. I'm like, man, I was rough on that guy. I feel bad, so.
Nice of you to say that. Thank
That's
you.
That's my style.
Thank you.
And begin. Okay.
All right. This report is brought to you by the YMCA. The YMCA committed to opportunities for all in the belief that no one should be defined by the zip code they're born into. Support your local Y at YMCA.net/ForABetterUs. What a finish to the Thursday night game. The Chargers scoring 2 touchdowns in the last 4 minutes in Kansas City. Philip Rivers hitting Mike Williams on a 1 yard score with 4 seconds to go. The call upheld after video review. So they're down by 1 to the Chiefs, but instead of going for the extra point in overtime, LA goes for the win.
Shotgun snap. Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone. Caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28.
And that was the final. Matt Smith called it. Chargers Radio Network. The Chargers snap a 9-game losing streak to the Chiefs. Rivers finishing with 313 yards passing, 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. Here's head coach Anthony Lynn.
He had a couple of turnovers in that game, but the way he fought back and the way he led the team down the field to get those scores, yeah, that signature feel. You know, that's the type of season he's having right now.
And meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes threw 2 first-quarter touchdowns and finished with a season-low 243 yards. The two teams are now tied for first in the AFC West at 11-3, but the Chiefs do own the tiebreaker based on a better division record. The Eagles haven't ruled out Carson Wentz yet for Sunday night against the Rams, but hard to believe Wentz is going to play now that he reportedly has a fracture in his back. He will not need surgery, though. NBA, 50 points for James Harden and a triple-double. The Rockets top the Lakers in Houston, 126-111.
I just wanted to make big plays, man. Honestly, like I've been saying over and over, we're in a hole right now. We've got to find a way to get out this hole, and we will. And me and Chris are the leaders. We got to go out there and play well and put ourselves in the position every single night.
Rockets have now won 2 in a row. It's 4 in a row for the Spurs. They hammered the Clippers, 125-87. The Suns ending a 10-game losing streak, 99-89 over the Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki making his season debut for Dallas, coming off ankle surgery. He scored 2 points in 6 minutes. Three-team baseball trade from yesterday. Edwin Encarnacion to the Mariners. Carlos Santana goes to the Indians. Yandy Diaz to the Rays. Mariners GM Jerry DePoto helped orchestrate that deal while he was in the hospital for blood clots in his lungs. He was released yesterday and tells the official team website he will be able to manage it. Hockey, the Lightning have now won 8 in a row, 4-1 over the Maple Leafs. And from college basketball, number 16, Wisconsin, all over Savannah State, 101-60.
Didn't see that one coming.
Oh.
Wisconsin, Savannah State?
Right.
Thought I'd been tight, but no.
All right, Brad. We
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It, Brad Heller. Rob Feller. We'll talk to you soon, big guy. All right, Brad, looking good today, bud. Anyway, so.
Wow. Laying it on thick today. My goodness, you're trying to make me jealous. I see what's going on here.
I've been hard on the guy. The guy walks around. He's apparently he's bad-mouthing me to people. That's what I heard.
But you're hard on all of us. Why does Brad get a day of love? Where's Pete's day? Where's Mikey B's day of love? No, where's Mikey B's 15 minutes of love?
Okay, the whole Mikey B thing, Mikey B is...
deserves it. You're right.
No, he's full he's full of it, okay? He's a load of malarkey. He is actually a load of malarkey because he makes like I have this problem with him and like I'm hard on him. And, Mike, that's a lie, dude. You have a hot mic in front of you.
Talk. When did I say that?
Well, it's the implication that you put out because everyone has the same narrative when it comes to you and I. Moose does. This guy to my left here, AB, does. Pete really doesn't care about anybody. He's worse than me. He doesn't care about anybody.
I think they're making their own assertions. I haven't talked to them about them, so you'd have to ask them about that.
I had Greg Giannotti. Remember him? I had him. Yes. Greg say to me, on his show, him and Boomer, Esiason, that is, I had him say, wow, man, you're your producer, like you really don't like him. I said, why are you saying that? AB,
it's nothing I'm saying, so again, you're going to have to ask them. I don't know the answer.
Well, why would they even have that? Why would they assume
that? I've heard things.
Almost fell off the chair just now. You have no, watch that.
I think from just listening
that trick arm rest, we almost got him.
Six, hold on a second. 4-7, 5-8.
See, there it is. See that? See that? That right there, what you just did. That sarcasm, little snarky thing. Yeah. I know, time zone. Yeah, see that right there? That kind of thing is the problem. He makes it like I pick on him on the air from 8 to 6, from 9 to 3. To,
right.
And that's not true, Mike. You know that's not true.
I know. I agree with you.
So then why is it, well, if they listen to the show,
I can't
here?
I can't answer for Pete and Bogus. I don't know why they feel that way. It's just their observations. I don't know.
But you just said it's the way I'm interacting with you when you're on the air here.
That's the only what I can come up with. That's their observations are here, right?
I think the social media team needs to put a tweet up. The first tweet of 2019 for Taz and a Moose. Does Mikey B like Moose better or Taz? That is real simple. And that poll should be pinned to the, to the Twitter account and stay there all year. And we'll see what it gets at the end of the year and who wins. I guarantee you everybody says Mike likes Moose better. Guaranteed. Love Fest City.
What would you do if that was the result? What if the overwhelming thought was that you are too hard on Mike? Would that have any effect on the way you behave towards Michael?
Nope.
Okay.
I'd get in my big truck, drive to my big house, smoke my big ass cigar, and just sit in my yard while it's 10 degrees and just pound monkey shoulder.
Do I want to know what monkey shoulder is?
Mike knows. We talked about it yesterday.
No, a golden monkey, I thought.
No, monkey shoulder. Mike, what'd you say?
Real good.
I like the golden monkey, but I assume monkey shoulder is another type of that brand. I haven't had it, but I'll look it up.
I think it is, or I just made one up. I'm not sure. I can't recall. I can't recall. No, I have monkey it's something.
It's a blended malt scotch whiskey.
There it is. There it is. I was right. I have it. Monkey shoulder.
Be careful drinking all that.
I have
might get the gout.
So that's the thing. I don't
going around
really,
here.
I don't care if Moose wins that, if Mike does like Moose better, I don't care because I know it's true. I know it's true. I understand because they're all Seiko fans, and I'm not. I'm different than all these people. That's the thing. I'm different than all of them. So, all right, anyway, back to this topic we were talking about before because you put out this pessimistic view because I was going to the break and I said like this. I said, well, look it. How about this epic win by the L.A. Chargers? Oh, yeah. And you go, oh, epic loss. Okay. Sports host negativity, pessimistic city. The floor is yours, sir. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Taz, for having me again. And, yes, here is your Debbie Downer moment of the day. The Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, you know, this reminds me. There was a time, one of the days where you were out.
Yes.
And it was me and
it's
Moose.
It's a rare day, by the way.
I know. Yeah. We'd think I'd remember the exact day because it happened so infrequently, but Moose got mad at me because I didn't understand how he could say the Chiefs had issues when they had just lost to the Rams. And I was like, he kept saying, well, they can't be stopped. And I'm like, well, they were just stopped last night. We watched them lose a game.
No, stop.
And part of the problem was like, they gave up 7,000 points in that game, and they lost to the Patriots because they gave up 40-plus points. Now, they didn't give up 40-plus points last night total, but they let the Chargers go right down the field twice in the last half of the fourth quarter and completely melted down on the two-point conversion. And miscommunications happen. Whatever.
But you're right. But they can happen there.
Right.
Not on a two-point for the win when you're the home team and it's you can't let it happen. It just can't happen there. But I get your point. Continue.
And they can't happen in when you have the ability to throw a knockout punch in the division, get home field, trying to be number one, and you open the door right up again for to now be the number five seed. I don't know what's more likely or not. Again, they've got to lose once, and the Chargers need to win their last two games. And the Chargers they host Baltimore next Saturday, the 22nd, and then they finish at Denver. KC is in Seattle next Sunday night and then host Oakland to finish. So losing to Seattle is maybe the most obvious scenario for the Chiefs next weekend. And the Chargers certainly can beat the Ravens and the Broncos to close. But, you know, KC is gone now from sweethearts to the possibility of being the number five seed and maybe an opening on the road, which is always going to be dangerous.
Right.
Instead of being number one, first round bye,
you're saying if they were to lose their last two games.
Once in their last two, and the Chargers win out.
They're not going to lose to the Raiders at home. We know that.
Right.
At the end. But I agree. There is a chance. This is kind of what you're saying, right? There is a chance that you feel they'll lose in Seattle.
Absolutely.
Right. And I don't disagree with you.
And the Chargers need to win out. So so last night, their inability to make one more play on defense, or by the way, and it's almost unfair to knock that offense, but all they had to do was keep the ball. And they went three and out, and on that one sequence had a block in the back, which is just ridiculous on the kickoff return. And then on third and short, they go false start, and Mahomes takes a sack to help the Chargers in terms of field position for that what became their, you know, the game winning throw.
If you don't have Hunt, when you have Hunt, Hunt helps.
Yeah,
here.
But
So when you have a running back, I know they were. I know Williams is running the ball well for him. But they're not Hunt. They're not. I know he's gone. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to shoot you down. I'm just saying that. But you're right. They couldn't keep that possession, and they couldn't make that last defensive play. But that's been, right, for the most part, everyone's spin on it, because it's been an accurate spin, as great and explosive and as fun as that offense for the Chiefs is and are, the negative spin on it is their defense. And it's the truth. It's definitely
true. And
there
it was last night. The Chargers played better offense late and better defense late and won in Kansas City.
That's right. And the thing to me, though, is this. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm not. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I am not panicking right now. I am not, because I know how strong my team is. I know in all three losses, if I'm a Chiefs fan, we lost the three of the best teams in the frickin' league, in the Patriots and the Rams and the Chargers, and they were all close enough games.
But I don't think that panic is not the word this morning. They got punched in the face by reality last night, and I think you're almost helping me make my point here.
They've lost to the three best teams they've played this year. I'm here to work with you, not against you, sir.
I appreciate that.
This is what I do here.
It's right, you're the family.
Maybe other hosts look to work against people. I look to work with people.
What'd you call it yesterday?
This is why I'm loved in the industry.
PMA?
Yeah, positive mental attitude.
Right.
Continue with your thought.
And this is not a nitpick on the Chiefs. I mean, they've had a remarkable season at 11-3, and Mahomes is everything. And yesterday we were talking with Tiki Barber about how he's already put himself, and he's not even in one full season as a starting quarterback. You know, he's put himself in this position where he is among the very, very, very elite at the position in the NFL. But they've put themselves now in that conversation, which opens up kind of the extreme talking points, because there's not normal stuff to dissect here. It's the little things that you have to look at when a team is so good. And one of the little things to me is that the three teams that they have played that have been the three best teams on their schedule, they've now lost three times to, with a week one win over the Chargers in LA. But they couldn't stop the Patriots. They couldn't stop the Rams. And last night, when it mattered most, they couldn't stop the Chargers.
And I agree with that. And I guess I did help make your point, which is fine. Here's the thing. The consistent amongst those three teams that the Chiefs did lose to, in the Patriots, the Rams, and the Chargers, defense. Those three squads all have explosive offensives just like the Chiefs, but they have better defense than the Chiefs. And that's the thing. That's the thing you got to be careful of. That's the thing you got to watch. And before we go to break, I want to say, I was talking about Hunt not being there and hurt the running game. But, you know, no knock on that kid, Damian Williams. He did run the ball well. He had like 50 yards rushing, 10 times, 10 touches, I should say. So he did play well. If you want to call the show, talk about this game, all is good. 855-212-4227. Also, Alabama, the Crimson Tide. Surprising or not surprising, in the hire for some consulting, who'd they hire? We'll get into that in a second here. Taz, with AB sitting in. Sit back, be back. Right back.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, well, you know, it's a good opportunity right now because it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply do this. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, and you could submit your question right there, okay? And make sure you're listening later on to the show here where we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer care at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So we discussed as we were going to break about the Alabama, Nick Saban's Alabama football that they just made it.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, you're not kidding. Well, that's what it is, right? So how they just hired basically more or less in a consultant role.
Reportedly. They have not confirmed nor denied the story.
TJ Durkin, the former head coach of University of Maryland football. And so for those that do not remember, I'm sure most of you do remember, we'll just refresh you, you know, AB and I, basically TJ Durkin was the head coach at University of Maryland, and unfortunately, a young man lost his life there, Jordan McNair, I think he was an offensive tackle, if memory. I know he was an offensive lineman, and it was a very sad situation during training, you know, it was hot, and I guess they were doing gases or sprints, and he passed out. This was all under TJ Durkin's watch. DJ Durkin. DJ Durkin's watch as the head coach. So it ends up being that Maryland kept him in his position for a while. Then they end up firing him. It was a whole big thing, AB, and it was a charade. It was crazy. And the crux of all this, a young man, a family lost their son, and Durkin ends up finding himself now, as you said, reportedly in this consulting role where Nick Saban hired him or is going to hire him. It's mind boggling. I don't understand. If you're Alabama, if you're Saban and company, why do you need Durkin? Why do you need DJ? Why do you need this kind of? What is the reason? This guy was fired because a toxic culture was under him. Players were interviewed saying that Durkin was one of the main. He allowed a lot of this toxicity.
Right, players were basically in open revolt. Correct. And I think the story was when the Board of Regents decided that they were not going to fire DJ Durkin.
Kids
and
were walking
then,
out of the meetings.
What exactly? I mean, this was just an utter disaster in a tragic loss of life, plus the normal kind of football sin, so to speak, about, you know, overly competitive and overly condescending and angry and violent and whatever. And then you get to Nick Saban, and I mean, don't take this completely the wrong way, but the guy's soulless. And that's partly at times, you know, that is a positive because he's able to do things without emotion. I should say that. Right. Emotionless.
Well, he's heartless in regards to coaching where he wants to win at all costs.
It's about winning or losing. Right, it's not a full-on moral judgment. But then you get into situations like this where maybe that lack of emotion, that lack of kind of football judgment leads into decisions like putting DJ Durkin in a room somewhere where he's helping you game plan for Kyler Murray because DJ Durkin has a defensive background. He was the Michigan defensive coordinator before he got the Maryland head coaching job. And even before, I mean, I guess part of the argument is they don't need DJ Durkin to beat Oklahoma and Kyler Murray. But even if they did, DJ Durkin doesn't need help yet.
Right,
doesn't need a reprieve. Doesn't need a solid. And spare me the altruistic nonsense of he's helping out. DJ Durkin's not in need. DJ Durkin got fired. And even if you think he got railroaded by Maryland and should have kept that job, he took home $5 million with him when he got fired by Maryland. In my mind, rightfully so. But whatever. He doesn't need help. He's not homeless. He's not down on his luck. Someone's probably going to hire him again sometime in the near future.
Right.
You don't need to start the DJ Durkin reclamation project for the college football playoffs. This is just a football decision, and it's a bad one by Nick Saban.
It is a bad one. It's bad on a lot of levels. Bad on a lot. And I'm a fan of Nick Saban, and I'm a fan of how he coaches his players and program. I am. This is just a little. I'm a little surprised. This news comes, dude. It's 6 months after Jordan McNair, under Durkin's care, had died of a heat stroke. This is 6 months after that. That's it. Not even 1 year.
Oh, and not to. I don't mean to dismiss that. It's only weeks since he lost his job.
Right.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, he's barely been unemployed. And Nick Saban pulls him in. Now, Nick Saban has given Steve Sarkisian work. He's given Lane Kiffin work. He tried to give Hugh Freeze work, and the SEC wouldn't allow that. Although, I guess in their defense, Hugh Freeze was in quote-unquote good NCAA standing after the violations at Ole Miss. So he could have been hired. They decided not to. There was even a player, I think his name was Jonathan Taylor, who had a history of legal issues that Nick Saban still brought to Alabama because he wanted to win football games. And then Taylor did the same thing over again, and I believe it involved allegedly abusing his girlfriend, and she recanted that particular story. But he gambled on a person and sold us on, well, I want to give him a second chance, and blah, blah, blah. Well, but it was about winning football games like this is as well. And sometimes, like, real life is more important than winning football
absolutely.
Games.
Oh, absolutely. And look, Nick Saban, like I said earlier, you said it. I mean, as far as needing this, any coach, let's say this didn't happen to Jordan McNair, which I wish it didn't have happened to him, and that he's no longer with us. Okay, and DJ Durkin was fired from Maryland for some other reason, some other bad reason. And you don't need anybody right now. I understand his mind, DJ Durkin, as a defensive coach. I get that. I understand he knows what he's doing. I got it. But, dude, you're the University of Alabama. You guys are just kicking ass and taking names on a regular basis, and everything is great there, from recruiting to the culture to the – you know, to the legacy, to the boosters, to everything, to the alumni, the whole nine. Okay, so now what happens? So DJ Durkin comes in. What's his responsibilities, right? What's the deal? So what is it? Does he have contact with the players? Is he going to be dealing with the players? We don't even know, right? So what says they go to the Orange Bowl and they win? Does he get a ring? I mean, I know I'm just rhetorical questions I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like, it's just...
Or if you want to do this, own it. You know, be a man about
it.
And he's not going to. You know he's not going. And the next time he's in front of a microphone and somebody asks him about this, you know he's going to be Nick Saban. He's going to be a jerk. And you know he's going to be dismissive and condescending all of this. But this, some of you might think that we're kind of overreacting to this. But, I mean, if you want to get down to nuts and bolts here, I mean, he's a public university. He has a state job. I believe he's the highest paid state employee in the state of Alabama.
He is.
These things deserve an explanation and deserve a pseudo defense. If you want to stand up there and give us nonsense about second chances and whatever, that's fine. Or even tell us that you're heartless and you only care about winning football games. But you can't do this and then not address it and kind of try to sneak it past us. If you're going to do something shady and sketchy,
well,
at least pretend to be an adult and stand up there and answer questions.
I agree. And to give you my opinion, you know, like I said, Jordan McNair, okay, lost his life 6 months ago. Exactly. This news came exactly 6 months after McNair passed. Okay? How's his family feel right now when they hear about this, that this DJ Durkin turns around weeks later and gets another job? Not just another job, but at the number one program in the country. Not that should matter, but it's still Alabama. Damn near an NFL team at the end of the day. It's just, it's a bad look for Alabama, in my opinion. And it sounds like your opinion, too. So if you want to call the show, give your opinion, what you think of it. 855-212-4227. We're going to give you a Week 15 NFL preview when we come back. Taz with AB sitting here. Be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.